You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Aloha, everyone.
I was waiting for the aloha again. It's been a recurring theme, but I think this might be the last time we hear the aloha for a little bit.
Well, this time at least, right? For a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. Know.
The travels might come to an end here very shortly.
And then new ones have to start, new adventures after.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. New adventures.
New language.
New language. Oh, God. We love the new language. But welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Tech Trend Investments.
Yes. Welcome, everyone. This is Elizabeth Powell.
And this is Joseph Grassa.
So today we're going to have fun because...
Just a little bit.
I said so. No, I'm just kidding.
Just because I said so. You guys are listening. You don't have any control over what we do. But we're going to have fun today because we've been going crazy and spewing out information every episode. And it always needs a little bit of a break. You can't retain so much. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to tell you guys some fun stuff, how to have fun. I don't know. I'm excited. I love having fun. Even tonight, I think every night's a fun night where we get to hop on and talk to everybody. And it's a great time, honestly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So we're talking to people from all over the world. So they're listening in different time zones and we're in different time zones. So I know it's based out of LA and everyone gets to listen on their traffic coming home from work, but maybe this will be an inspiration when they get home to enjoy life, like go back home and be grateful for what they have and plan an adventure and see what happens, right?
Yeah, just honestly, be sporadic. You shouldn't even know your next move. You should have fun with it. Don't let anyone else know it. Exactly. Be spontaneous. If people know your next move, then you're not doing it right. You shouldn't even know your next move at that. So just have fun, live life, and spend time with family. Cherish the relationships that you have, and really just make the most of everything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, most people are afraid, like they're scared of the unknown, and that's what stops them from trying out new things. They're afraid of going on an adventure or trying something new or meeting somebody new or talking, I don't know, anywhere, like going into a new place, because everyone's always afraid of the unknown and what everybody may think. But I mean, you only have one life, right? Like, gotta go out there and try things out and see what it's about.
So we're pulling out the corny term YOLO again. I thought we got rid of that back in 2020.
FOMO and YOLO. FOMO's a new word.
Yeah, FOMO and YOLO. Oh, my.
It should be more thinking of FOMO, like fear of missing out. Like, you live your whole entire life, and then it's the end of your life. The number one thing, again, what everybody wishes that they did was try something new or travel or try an adventure. I mean, you can only take so much with you, right? So the only thing you have is your memories and what you went through and what your life was like.
Yeah. So that honestly, this topic speaks super deep. And I know a lot of people, they feel like they regret things, and regret is something that no one should ever have to live with. So just going out and doing things. If you have an opportunity to do something and you want to do it, but the opportunity cost is minimal, do it. Just do it. Just have fun and take life, take chances, meet people, because one thing that I preach is your network is your net worth, and your network is who you're going to grow with, and surround yourself with people that are better than you so you can learn from them. And if you don't take the chances and don't have fun with it and don't go out, meet people, you may never experience that, and you may never get to make those connections.
Yeah, and you see life differently too. You see life through other perspectives and other cultures and what other people do versus just being stuck in the little bubble. But it's fun.
It's eye-opening for sure.
Yeah, the thing about traveling a lot, though, too, is then when you try and sit still for a period of time, you get that urge and want to go again.
I think there's some FOMO, YOLO stuff going on with you right now. That sounded a little too personal.
Yeah, I don't know. But something that you can do is take one. I don't even know if there's globes anymore.
Does but anybody you can take, use a globe, or do we all stick to Google Maps? I think that's right. What we're trying to go through.
Well, no, isn't there? There's a website, though. Remember, there was a website that you had shown me?
Yep.
There's a website where you can, like, pick a random place, and then it'll tell you where to travel to next. That's being very spontaneous. That's
a little spontaneous.
But
for me, when I travel, I like to, I usually have my own goals where I want to go see where I haven't been. So I want to go and explore the culture, the people, the food, the sightseeing, taking pictures. Although I'm not much of a picture person myself, I'm not that photogenic. I know Elizabeth is very photogenic, unlike some of us here. But
I have 50,000 pictures in my phone, and it's full of sightseeing locations. And it's the same places, too. I have like 10,000 of the same exact beach. 10,000 times, probably.
So you just got the rapid trigger finger on the capture, on the button on your phone to take all the pictures of the same thing.
Of the same thing. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. You didn't cut me off at all.
So, so the good thing about technology, and this is the best thing, is it gives us the freedom to travel, right? So, like, as long as we have our cell phone and we have a laptop, pretty much I can be anywhere in the world and still communicate with everybody and work remote, or, like, we're right now, we're on a podcast remote. I'm in Hawaii, so we're able to talk to everybody in the world remote. And if I didn't have this technology, I'd be stuck, and it's helped me out so many times, and I have that funny story.
Oh, no. Let's hear it.
I have quite a few ones, though. Like, I was in Oslo and didn't speak the language, obviously. And I did, I probably said the story already. I flew in, I was somewhere in Europe, and then had to fly out of Oslo. And I decided to go into Bergen, which is like a small little town. And so I came into Oslo, took a train at midnight so I could see the fjords and see the snow caps and take it all the way to Bergen. And then I was supposed to take a flight back to Oslo and then back to LA. And I just went on a whim, didn't map or plan it out, got into town, and then had to be on the airplane to get back like within an hour. So I got to see the fjords from like midnight to 4 a.m. because the sunlight is up early there. They have like different hours, and so there's a lot of, it's like Alaska, the sunlight's up throughout the night, and then it has like limited hours during the day, and then it flips again depending on the season. And so I got to go at midnight, and then see, I think it was like 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. I got to see the sunlight come up, and so I could see the fjords as I'm going through the train. But I arrived in the town, and the airport was over 30 miles away, and I couldn't figure out how to take the train to the airport because I didn't read the language.
And oh, no.
I used Google Maps. And so I'm using Google Maps, and I'm like, I would get on the train and then get off the train and get back on the train and get off the train, because for some reason, I don't know what happened, but on Google Maps, it like reversed. And so it did the opposite. And by that time, I just got off the train and found somebody who was doing a shuttle to the airport, got to the shuttle on the airport in time, made it back to my flight and made it back to LA. But that was like one of those adventures. I'm just like on the last minute, okay, I'm gonna go see the fjords. I'm flying back out. I have 10 hours to kill. What am I gonna do? And then had to wing it from there.
You just gotta wing it sometimes. I remember my first time traveling alone, I wouldn't even call it travel, but going to Toronto on my own and learning the train system.
I never went on trains before Europe. Well, I mean, trains from Orange County to Del Mar to the horse races or to the football games, but not trains. So go on. What happened?
It was an early morning because I had to take it to go to class because I was taking my first time going to school, we'll say. And I was trying to learn the train schedule and everything. So I get on the train and I go the wrong way. So I go an hour north.
Oh my
which
goodness.
Is opposite of Toronto. So an hour north. So I am now effectively 2 hours away from Toronto, and I have a class in an hour and a half.
Oh no.
So I hop on the train to go back because I had to talk to a bunch of people, and I used to be very antisocial, unfortunately. They kind of put me in a disadvantage. So I got on the train and I somehow got to Toronto, but I didn't need to be in Toronto.
Oh no.
I needed to get off two stops before Toronto.
Oh no.
So I went an additional 30 minutes past my stop.
Oh no.
So I had to go back.
Oh my goodness. What time did you end up there at? Like 5 hours late? How late were you?
I was an hour and a half late for my class.
Oh my goodness. Did the class end already by that time?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I made the second class. That's a plus. Didn't make the first one, but I got there to the second one.
You're like, dear professor, the dog ate my homework and I took the wrong train.
the dog ate my train schedule, and I've never traveled alone on a train before.
That's funny.
Always horrible.
That looks like me in Oslo and Bergen.
Just absolutely lost in a absolutely new area that you've never experienced before.
But it was beautiful. Like, if I had the time, then I could have explored the city and looked at everything, which I'm sure, like, getting lost for 2 hours the wrong direction, there could have been lots of things and fun things to see. But
oh, I was in the middle of farm town, so there was no way I was seeing anything. I had nothing near me. There was nothing remotely close.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. You know, technology usually saves us, but sometimes
it burns us a little bit.
Yeah. Or we get a little too brave and then depend on it and then realize, oops.
Oops, I may have used it in the wrong way, or I used it wrong, which a lot of people do.
Right. But it's a learning curve. And then once you master it, then it becomes easy. You know, once you go through that little learning curve and then understand how to use things correctly, or how to find something, or Google it, or go into AI and look things up, and then there's that learning curve, and then you've mastered it, right?
Yeah, you always have to. The thing I like to say is, you won't learn anything unless you fail at it first. So if the first time you fail, you're not going to fail the second time, because you're going to be afraid of failure and you're going to want to strive to be better. So after taking the train wrong the first time, as an analogy, I never took it the wrong way again, and I never missed my stop again unless I slept past it. But that's another story.
Now you're a master.
I'm the master of the trains.
So I have. I told you this one, though. I have another text where Tuck helped me out. I was flying back from my Maui to Honolulu yesterday. Was it yesterday? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It feels like it was weeks ago. It was yesterday. And I had to go return the rental car. And of course, I try to plan out my day in advance. And the condo that I was staying on the beach had flooded the day before. And then they moved me to a different condo, which is fine. But then I'm taking the trip back from where I was staying in Maui back to the airport, went to go fill up for gas in a car that I'm not familiar with.
Oh no. This is too familiar.
And I go to get in the gas station and I'm in a rush, of course, because I'm running late, because that's what I do. And then the person cut me off and, like, I couldn't get into the gas line, but that's okay. So I waited patiently. Went to go get gas and then couldn't figure out how to open the gas lid. And so everybody else is waiting for me to figure out how to get my gas in the car. And then I had to Google how to open up the gas lid on this car that I'm not familiar with. And I'm here watching a YouTube video.
To make matters worse, you also honked on the way in when you got cut off. So everybody's already looking at you. You're already like, now they're like, what's going on? What's she doing?
There's some tall blonde chick honking at people trying to get to the airport and late.
Late. No.
Being a tourist.
Which you also made it to the airport on time as well.
I did make it. So I Googled how to open a gas lid. And I've had like 8 cars. And so I know how usually to open a gas lid, but I couldn't figure this one out because it's not a car I'm familiar with. It's one of those like get 60 miles to the gallon cars. So I'm not familiar with those at all because I drive sports cars.
So, 60 miles to the gallon is almost unheard of for us.
I know, it's crazy. And then it wasn't a Tesla though. Oh my gosh, can you imagine me trying to find a place to charge my car in a Tesla? In Hawaii. Wait,
60 watts to the mile is that's the Tesla measurement, I think. You're measuring in watts, not in gallons.
Okay, well, this one was one of those cars that took gas.
Oh my god, the hybrid.
I saw it. I think it was. So I've seen those commercials where the lady pulls into the gas station and she's supposed to charge her Tesla and she's trying to put gas in it. That's probably what I looked like yesterday trying to open up my gas lid. So I Googled
first world
it,
problems.
Found the YouTube video, fast forwarded to the part where you're supposed to open the gas lid and then put my gas in my car. And then got from Maui over to the airport and made it in time. But
somehow.
While it was happening, it was funny. Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Somehow you made it on time. Me personally, I wouldn't have made it on time. The panic would have kicked in and I would not have even been able to type in how to open the gas cap for this car. I would have been struggling at that point.
Thank God for technology. Oh, and then I thought, oh, I'm going to need, because it was like over an hour away, like where I got gas to where the airport was because I was on the other side of the island. So to get to the airport, you're supposed to top it off, right? And I came in, coming into the airport, and there were no gas stations. I must have passed them already. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh,
you know,
no.
You know, you go into the car rental, but it's one of those cars that gets 60 miles to the gallon. So I made it in okay.
You're just riding empty on those cars. That's what it feels like. You ride empty all the time because you just have so much faith in the car. But
right.
I wouldn't.
I topped it off so it looked full.
I'm used to just getting down to like a quarter of a tank and then having to fill it up because I know that last quarter is not going to last. It never does. It never does. Especially never. In a sports car. Oh my God.
Right.
In a sports car, you're like, oh, I'm down to the last quarter. I need to fill it up to full again. And then within like 12 hours, you're back down to that quarter. And you're like, oh, no.
But thank God for technology.
Thank God for technology. Oh,
and
my
cars,
God.
And cars that get 60 miles to the gallon.
I don't know if we can be too thankful for those, but we're traveling. While we're traveling. Only then.
Yeah, but rental cars were pretty cheap this time. Like an Uber would cost me $80 each way. That's like $160. Instead, I ended up getting a rental car for like $220 for the week, which was awesome.
Yeah, you get
your own
cheap.
Car. Yeah, but like before, Hawaii was like renting cars like $700 to $1,000 a week. And right now they're about $220, which is awesome. Well,
that's a lot cheaper.
Summer's coming up. And then I got a one-bedroom oceanfront. I found a still for $700 a week, which was even better. So it was worth it. It was a beautiful with a kitchen, oceanfront, got to see turtles coming up on the beach in front of my window, in front of my patio. So it was
that, cool. Oh, the turtles and the birds.
Oh yeah, the birds. And birds coming into my house.
So if you didn't know, everybody, Elizabeth is channels her inner bird and all the birds come and flock to her. And they somehow make their way into her apartment to come chill with her. Like, what?
I have birds hanging out with me. I go to the beach and I'm surrounded by birds just hanging out with me. And I don't have food. Like, there's no food. They're just, like, coming and hanging out with me.
The birds just wanted to chill. They wanted a piece of that AI technology. They're like, we're learning. Unless they were spy cameras.
Oh, maybe. No.
In Hawaii, unheard of.
They're drones that look like birds trying to get tech.
Oh my God. That
No.
that's something that I don't see, like I think we could probably see stuff like that happening in the near future too, with the way tech's evolving. That's gonna be fun and scary at the same time.
Yeah, but I mean, my favorite thing too is finding out what other people think is going on with AI right now and what's going on with crypto and what's going on in the world, that they don't realize how quickly our technology is changing, like by leaps and bounds, how AI tech is just going crazy right now. Most people think that it's going to take 5 years or so before AI starts infiltrating into the real world, but I mean, that's what my Uber driver discussion was. But AI tech is just crazy. Like if you have a chance, go on to ChatGPT and just play around with it and see what the new tech is. But it's fun. Like it's a lot of fun. It's like Google on steroids.
You
So
got ChatGPT and you also have Bard if you're in the US. You can
Okay.
use Bard, and Bard is real time. If you're using ChatGPT 3.0, which is the base level, I don't think you have real time data access to the internet.
Yeah,
But if
4.0 right now.
4.0 you 4.0 you do. But if you use Bard, I think even the free version is full access to the internet.
Spell it out so people know what it is.
Bardai, but I do think they had an update recently. I saw something on Twitter or X now.
If you go
Gemini. It is now Gemini.
Oh.
Yeah, they've updated their name to
Interesting.
Gemini.
I'll have to try that one out.
Yeah,
There's
this
a
that one is real time, and it searches for flights, for food, anywhere, the best places to travel. I think
interesting.
it also pulls your if it's I think it's based on Google, so it pulls your search history and what and your trends and what you like, and
Uh-oh.
it'll recommend things for you that it sees that you like and that you're searching for frequently. Uh-oh, indeed.
Uh-oh. That sounds like Siri and Alexa
Might as well be.
in AI. Interesting. Huh. And then right now, like if you go into IG, like Instagram, or you go into WhatsApp, they have AI in there. So you can access it. It's a little circle. And so if you're having a communication with somebody on IG, or if you want to post something on IG, or if you want to go into WhatsApp and send a message to somebody, but you want to be creative, it'll generate art and also a conversation on what to send somebody.
That's on WhatsApp or on IG?
So both.
They
WhatsApp
both
has
have
it.
that now.
Yeah, WhatsApp has it now. So if you go on WhatsApp, it has a little circle and you can add AI into it and then you can generate conversations based on what you want to say and then it comes out eloquently or satirically or however else you want to generate. But I believe on WhatsApp you might be able to generate art too. I think I did generate art in there. But IG, so Instagram also has it too. So people are influencers, or if you're just trying to create something for your Instagram and you need hashtags or you need a caption or something, you can go in there and create it. Or if you want to even create art, you can go into IG and create it too.
That's kind of scary though, because we're gonna probably see a surge in AI accounts. Although I know that happened about, what was that, almost like 8 months ago now, where there were a bunch of female model AI accounts on Instagram getting a lot of attention for how they're able to collaborate with brands and act as a human and take in and basically be a human, but
Well,
profit
they
and
have
use
them
it.
animated now where
Yeah.
they're interacting with people and communicating with people that
Yeah.
makes it look like they're real.
It's freaky. It's scary. It's scary to think that's the world that we live in, because now you don't know if they're real or if they're an AI.
Right.
And that's
Yeah,
how a lot
see.
of people have been getting scammed recently too, with a lot of these AI generated influencer posts. Oh, send money here, send money there. If
Yeah, never
anyone
send
says to
money.
send money, don't send it.
Don't
That's
send money. Yeah.
99% the scam, almost 100% of the time it is, don't send money.
Yeah, never
Because
send
there's
money.
Yeah, especially if Elon Musk is on a YouTube ad saying to send money here, it's usually not what you want to
I don't think Elon Musk needs money, for one. I don't think he'd ask people for money. But yeah. Yeah, people don't. Yeah. So never send money over the internet, no matter who they are. But
unless it's crypto and you're paying for something.
Right.
Then that's magical internet money and you can send it.
Don't send money for a person asking for money. An AI person.
An AI person.
Yes. I mean, I created the AI that has my voice and my personality and my background and my information, and it talks to people on our Telegram. So.
See, but I feel like that's different because you created a personality of yourself so that you can free up more time. That's a benefit of AI rather than a downside and almost like a flaw. Although most people won't realize it, it frees up more time for, let's say, business owners like yourself who need more time and don't have enough time throughout the day to get all their stuff done, and it opens up opportunities to get stuff done while the AI does some of the work for them.
Right. And my AI is locked, and so people can't forward my messages and they can't take my bot and use it anywhere else because it's locked.
So we're not going to see a roaming ace in Telegram now? No.
Aces in chat everywhere.
That's how everyone's going to start pumping their bags.
Right.
as Web3 will say, pumping their bags just means increasing the price of the asset or the token that they're going to be influencing.
Yeah, one of these days we'll have to do a glossary of terms for Web3 so everybody can understand when we start using slang.
I'd say Web3, but also more new generic terms that are being shared around the internet, because there's a lot of new ones that I feel like everyone should know, but a lot of them are like super, super new.
Right.
Like FOMO is, I'd say that's more like a few years ago, but not many people knew about FOMO.
True. Fear of missing out.
You got NGMI, not gonna make it.
GMI, going to make it. And then IY, KY, if you know, you know.
You know.
I just saw one on IG, and I don't watch streamers, but I guess it's a streamer that says, like, "What's up, brother?" And then they come back.
Oh, you're talking about Sketch.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm familiar with that. What's up, brother? Yeah, 100%. Like that, there's a lot of nuances. And it comes from these social media influencers too.
Right.
So if you're not up to date on social media and all these new terms that you hear people throwing around, then we'll create something for that. I think there's probably a need for that around. So we'll definitely do that.
I can create an AI book with all the terms of Web3 and social media.
Oh my God. That would be amazing. Cause then that would open up so many doors as well, because I think the main reason why people don't jump into Web3 is because it just feels like there's a gap, and that just decreases the gap and shrinks it so much more, because you're going to see people going in chat, "Oh, you're NGMI. Oh, wag me. That's
right.
We're all going to make it." And you're just like, I don't know what's going on. Are they talking about the floor price going up? Are they talking about how the project's going to zero? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think it's a way to try and keep Web3 underground and keep like normies out, like the Web2 and real life people out. They create a slang that only that group or those people understand. But if we have a dictionary of Web3 terms and social media terms, and people can understand when they go into a conversation, like just Web3, like
urban
GME
dictionary.
Yeah, Web3 dictionary. And it updates constantly because it's AI based. I shouldn't say that, because I'll create it now, there'll be 50 of them out next week.
Well, if there is, that means some of our listeners are devs, and that's pretty cool to see that we have some developers listening and learning about what the possibilities are of AI, and especially in Web3 too.
Right. I mean, the good thing too is about being in crypto and being Web3, we're first to market on all new tech. So any new tech that comes out and filters its way over into the real world IRL or it filters over into Web2 usually starts over in crypto and Web3, and then it gets tested out there, goes to market, and then works its way out. Like, and then the time that tech is developed, if you're in real life, it's taking 6 months to 12 months to build something out, because you're going back and forth and a lot of people don't know the new tech yet. But if you're building it in crypto and you have devs in crypto, or devs in Web3, they know what's going on in technology and they're fast. And we usually can build stuff out in 24 hours to 7 days. So most stuff that's taking over a year to build out, and by the time you build it out and it's been a year later, tech has changed. Tech has changed drastically, like in 24, 48, 72 hours. Like, tech is ever evolving. And all the stuff that's coming out now is stuff that we built out 7, 8 months ago.
Sometimes even more, to be honest. I think there's like, I think chatbots were built like at least 2 years ago in Web3.
Yeah, there were chatbots. But they didn't have personalities and they didn't have voices.
Not personalities or voices, no. But they were more like they pulled real-time information off the web and they answered questions based on that. And that's kind of what ChatGPT started as. Which is crazy because we in crypto Web3, that was there first and people were all surprised and like, oh, new tech. And then it goes to web, and then it goes to Web2 or the real life, and everyone's like, oh my God. So it really helps you stay ahead of the curve. So like even just knowing that, oh, Elon's gonna implement something into Twitter could have helped you so much more, because in Web3 everyone was expecting it because it was such Web3 is very prominent on Twitter, that, and Elon knows that, evidently. He's replied to and posted a bunch of crypto-based assets on his Twitter.
Yeah.
And he's promoted it to an extent. So people kind of knew, okay, the crypto people are very big on AI. We're going to make an AI and put it primarily on Twitter so that we can cater more to this market and more to the current market. So now everyone's like, AI craze. Elon's like, okay, Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, is now going to have an AI built into it if you buy the premium plus version.
He has Grok.
Grok is a meme coin, too.
Right. So anything like that Elon tweets about becomes a meme coin, too. 20 of them.
Oh, my God. Everything does at this point. Even if it's a one-word post from Elon, it becomes a meme coin.
If he says hello, we'll have 20 meme coins saying hello.
Yeah, meme coins saying hello with a picture or his PFP on it, and then everyone will go and flock to that coin because Elon is a prominent figure in I guess, everywhere. Everyone knows who Elon is. Everyone knows what Elon does and what he stands for, and everyone wants to be a part of it and push his stuff.
Right. So if you want to learn more about crypto, go into Twitter.
Go into Twitter. Basically, yeah. If you search up crypto on Twitter, you'll find
or meme lists coins
upon lists of stuff.
Hashtags meme coins.
And I kid you not. There's like even right now as we're going on this podcast live, there's people listening to. Like, I can't even, how many people is this? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, around 3,500 people listening to Twitter spaces about crypto live.
3,500 Twitter spaces or people?
No, people listening to Twitter spaces. And there's about 6 or 7 of them going on right now.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people even just in the middle of the day, at night. The Web3 crypto is just 24/7, for lack of better words, 24/7.
Right.
So there's always something going on. There's always people talking. There's always news going around, drama, projects launching, meme coins launching, people pumping meme coins, people selling meme coins, FOMO, you got copium, everything. You see everything inside of crypto.
Copium and hopium.
Copium is when you miss out on a play and you have to cope, or you sell too early and you're coping. And hopium is hoping that your bags will go up.
Yeah, so people are on Twitter, Telegram, primarily Discord. So you can go into any alpha group and go in and say hi, or just listen to everybody talk and listen to the slang and the lingo and see what's going on. But it's fun.
And I think Web3 kind of attacks all of like the mainstream information before it even goes public.
Right. Yeah, we usually know about things before it happens, before anybody else knows it happens.
Well, yeah, because there's people everywhere too, right? So if something's international people, so but the Dubai when Dubai was flooded, my prayers go out to them over there.
Yes.
When Dubai was flooded,
we knew about them right away.
Instantly, we knew because there was a Dubai event at that time for crypto.
Or when New York had an earthquake, we knew about it within seconds.
Within seconds, someone's on Twitter and crypto posting about it. Oh, and now the market's going down. The market's going down. Everybody right. knows.
Right. Or the market's going up. Everybody knows.
We've had a pullback, and now we've had a bounce, and we're back on our leg up again, which is awesome. Oh, and Bitcoin halved.
Bitcoin halving, yeah.
Everyone thought it was going to be a big magical event, and it just kind of happened.
It just happened. A lot of people didn't even know about it. I think a lot of people mistook halving for half of the Bitcoin. Splitting in two, or the supply of Bitcoin cutting in half. And oh my God, I'm going to lose my money because I don't know if my Bitcoin is going to be deleted.
Yeah, nothing happened.
But essentially, the Bitcoin halving was just a halving of the blocks. So meaning that not as many Bitcoin blocks or which are processed for transactions and miners can be produced. So it just cuts back on that, and then another 4 years there'll be another halving. It's basically just a limitation on the amount of blocks that go around, and it's up until Bitcoin reaches a certain number. I think it's like 14 something.
It's counting down. It's almost done.
It's almost done. Yeah, I think there's 12 years left, and then Bitcoin supply is fully out there to the public.
The halving more affected the miners than it did the holders.
Because the miners can't mine anymore. Their hash rates, meaning how much they make, are cut in half. Yeah. And their costs are no longer make sense for them.
Yeah, and the cost to mine is very expensive with gas and overhead and cooling systems and keeping the servers cooled. So it costs them a lot of money to produce and to mine, but that was affected.
I think that was the only thing that was affected, and that's the main reason why I predicted that it was going to go down a little bit, which it did.
Yeah, it was up that day for like $500, and then it had a pullback as soon as it halved and went down a little bit and then bounced back again.
Yeah, and that would have been had everyone stay up to date on crypto, which we preach to stay up to date on crypto and to learn as much as you can, because it does also reflect the NASDAQ as well. So if you are prominent in stocks, you'll realize there's a lot of similarities and trends that Bitcoin and Ethereum follow based on the NASDAQ market itself. And you can time and predict swings of the market with that.
Because NASDAQ's primarily technology and crypto is big technology too, so it follows the same graph. Close.
I wouldn't say exact. Yeah, I wouldn't say exactly the same. It follows trends, yes. And if technology crashes, you're going to see, obviously, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the major cryptocurrencies take a dip along with the stocks themselves. So, and NASDAQ, and you'll see, okay, yep, everything's following suit. Something big comes up, like we have the big seven, the earnings reports coming up in the next few, I think it's the next few days. And that you're probably going to see a nice pump off of too when you see all the earnings of these larger companies.
Are they predicting good earnings?
They're predicting very good earnings.
That can potentially mean higher interest rates in the future, though.
It probably does, which is the scary part. It's good short term, but long term, it's a uh-oh moment.
Right. So if you're buying a house, interest rates to consider. We were going to talk about that this week, but we're talking about fun stuff and
kind of just going a little bit all over the place and having fun with it.
Right. Yes. But the markets have been interesting, but we always bounce back. Everyone always thinks it's going to be worst case scenario, and then there's a bounce back. We have a pullback in profit taking and then a bounce back, and it goes kind of back to normal and everybody gets excited again. They're all kind of holding off on the sidelines, waiting to see what happens on the Bitcoin halving, and then news kind of affected the market. And so people were on the sidelines waiting, but now it's kind of calmed down again. And so there's a lot of chatter and a lot of people are being active and the market's going back to normal. But this is normal cycles. Whenever there's emotion thrown in or unknown thrown in, this always happens in the market. And then we recover and come back. So
it wasn't
that big of a deal too. It like wasn't a huge major. It was just a pullback. So it wasn't that big of a deal.
Just a minor pullback. I think everyone was expecting it. If you knew what market swings and if you're familiar with them, you'd realize that there's always going to be a dip in the market before you see a revival or a pump back up. So seeing that these coins, cryptocurrencies, NASDAQ, everything is down a little bit for now, it usually means that they're going to solidify at a certain price range and then go back up. They're finding their bearings again. Obviously, you're going to have people take profits. People who are scared, they're going to be shaking in their boots, is the term I like to say. They're shaking in their boots and they're going to sell off.
That's a good time to buy, though. There was a great sell. A couple Saturdays.
You could have shorted the market at that point too, because if you're familiar with the news, you'd understand, oh yeah, something's coming. People are going to get scared and they're going to sell.
Right.
That's what I did. You short the market and everything goes down. And then you get back in and then you long it and it goes back up.
Yes.
It's the best way to predict the market is based off of everyone's fear and greed. And that's why there's a lot of fear and greed indexes around, and you can just have fun with that. And you play off of everybody's FOMO and hopium and copium.
And range trade. Snipe it on the bottom, sell on the top. Range trade.
So yeah, we don't recommend buying high, selling low.
Buy low, sell high. Yeah, but once you get experienced and you're an advanced trader and you see how markets cycle and how they're affected by emotion, like everything is affected by emotion. And then statistics. So when data comes out, they anticipate certain data is going to come out. And if it comes out exactly as planned, then they already built that into the price. If there's emotion and an unexpected event, it affects the market because the market doesn't know what's going to happen. It's the fear of the unknown. And so they get scared and go to cash and then realize that they shouldn't have gone to cash and it rebounds. So the market does that. That's just normal things that happen.
Normal market. It's just normal. No one should get scared. And honestly, take it as an opportunity. And this kind of ties back to meeting people and to understanding people and getting out there and exposing yourself to new environments, is because the more you expose yourself, the more you'll realize the trends and how people react and what they do in certain situations. And then you'll be able to better predict what happens in markets, because now you know, okay, these people are going to start selling at this range. And okay, these people are easily influenced. So you're going to be like, okay, now I understand there's a lot of people in the market like this and I can take advantage of it.
Right. Yeah. And if people are inexperienced, it's better just to watch paper trades, see what others are doing, learn as much as you can, watch YouTube videos.
Don't stop at the gas station when you're late for your flight and watch a YouTube video.
Right. Fast forward to key points. Yeah. But it's time for almost another adventure.
I'm planning on taking another adventure too. I think there's going to be a lot of travel things that are going to come out very shortly, and to help people get more into travel. And I know I'm trying to get more into travel and to have more fun with it, because I see Elizabeth always going to Hawaii and all these fun places, casinos, and I'm getting FOMO.
Yes, Florida. I'm due to go back to Florida too.
I am due to go to a music festival, because that's something I've heard is very, very fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I went to EDC. That was fun. In Vegas. Wait, it's coming up right now. It's in May.
Did I just remind you of another way to go meet people and also to have some fun yourself? Live spontaneously. Right. So you didn't even know what's happening now. Oh, it's happening. I'm going to go.
Oh yeah, I went in May and I'm flying back to Vegas. But they're fun, but so we use travel apps too. So we have a travel app coming out pretty soon, like in the next 7 to 10 days, a travel app to find the lowest air, so people can find the lowest air. Like I found LA to Hawaii for $100, And then, of course, you can do upgrades. You book direct with the airline, and then you can do your upgrades and get your seat or whatever you want to do. And then island hop. So I'm in Hawaii, and you're able to island hop. The great thing about Hawaiian islands is there's a couple different airlines that fly to from island to island. And so you can pick any time, any day, and fly. There's about 12 to 15 flights a day going to the different islands, like each island. So you can come out to Hawaii and the mainland, or go to Honolulu from the mainland, and then island hop from there. And then go to Greece, and then take the ferries and go island to island. I mean, we're coming on season right now. We're coming on big season for traveling. It's end of April going into May. And so it's start of season in Europe. It's the start of season in Greece right now. And then they go all the way until October. So if you're traveling right now, you'll get low air, low accommodation prices that are normally peak during the summers of June, July, and August. And so if you travel in April and May, you usually get low fares. Same thing to Australia. You can get low fares to Australia right now. Low fares to Europe. Flights from major airports out of like LA, Boston, New York to Europe for about $150. And then travel around Europe, or go from Honolulu to Australia for $150, or LA to Hawaii for $100, and then stay in accommodations. We'll talk about that again another time, but yeah, there's a lot of fun things to do. So make sure you have your internet, you have good internet, or if you're trying to detach from everybody and enjoy your vacation, forget the internet, right?
I think that's always a good thing to do once in a while, is just to turn off all devices, no internet, no phone, unless you need it for family, calling family, checking up on them. Just that's it. Just you, emergency nature, family,
right?
And just enjoying where you are and the people around you, and creating great memories that you can share with your family in the future. Or if you have a family, or just have your, let your kids carry them out and remind them of them in the future. And then just basically just create everlasting memories that will last on forever, because memories don't go away. They're there forever.
So I have 60,000 photos on my phone of the same places over and over again.
It's a memory each time though. Each picture, I'm sure, reminds you of something that you did during that trip or during that adventure that you had.
Yeah, it does. The one thing I want to tell everybody though, so when you're using the internet and Wi-Fi, make sure you're using a VPN. I had people try and hack me this trip, which they did before on another Hawaii trip I was on. So if you're using a VPN, they can't get into your internet, because Wi-Fi is usually mutual and the places that you're staying at don't change the password. So anybody can come by the hotel or the resort or wherever you're staying at and hack into the internet. So make sure you're using a VPN to keep privacy and keep your stuff secure. That's really important. Talking about Wi-Fi and internet.
Just make sure you stay safe. Use VPNs. Use your incognito modes when searching for stuff.
Yes.
Don't let people take your cookies.
Right. Keep everything private.
Everything private on low key, so that when you do go looking for flights in the future, and you're looking for flights already, you don't get these crazy jumps in price all of a sudden because you've went back to the site about 20, 30 times.
Clear out your cookies and use a incognito browser and use a VPN to do a new search.
All
and then
of the
turn above. Off, if you're bringing a laptop or you're on your cell phone, make sure you turn off the Wi-Fi when you're not using it, so that people can't get into your computer or get into your phone too. It's really important.
I think I've had someone get into my phone before. It was through an AirDrop image. I think that was a way that they used to be able to do it. I got airdropped something in a.
Yes, yeah, so turn off your Bluetooth.
Bluetooth off.
And then so turn off AirDrop.
Yeah, AirDrop. Turn all that stuff off, because I think that was in Italy, and I was taking a train from Rome to somewhere, and I think what happened was they airdropped everyone an image, and if you accepted it, and it was like a beautiful image of like the Rome skyline, then you basically got hacked. And they had all access to everything.
Yeah, don't click on any links or anything that comes into your phone. And if somebody calls you and sends you a text message or a link, don't click on that.
Yeah, usually if your bank texts you out of nowhere and says that you've that you have free money waiting for you, it's usually a lie.
Or if anybody asks you for money, don't click on that and don't send money.
I think we're about time to wrap up though.
Yes.
But thank you, everybody. I hope you've had a fun time.
Yeah, we had a fun Tuesday this time.
Going everywhere, talking about a bunch of stuff, experiences, living life on the edge spontaneously, and just doing things that you wouldn't normally do.
Do it for the story. Go for the adventure. Go have fun. Step out of your comfort zone. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yep. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.